Volume 50, Number 11 of the New Era magazine, for November 2020. Contents. General Conference Highlights. President Russell M. Nelson, Moving Forward, Let God Prevail, Embrace the Future with Faith, and A New Normal. President Dallin H. Oaks, Love Your Enemies, Be of Good Cheer. President Henry B. Eyring, Sisters in Zion, Tested, Proved, and Polished. Elder David A. Bednar, We Will Prove Them Herewith. Sister Michelle D. Craig, Eyes to See. Elder Quentin L. Cook, Hearts Knit in Righteousness and Unity. Elder Ronald A. Rasband, Recommended to the Lord. Elder D. Todd Christofferson, Sustainable Societies. Brother Stephen J. Lund, Finding Joy in Christ. Elder Garrett W. Gong, All Nations, Kindreds, and Tongues. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf, God Will Do Something Unimaginable. Sister Becky Craven, Keep the Change. President M. Russell Ballard, Watch Ye Therefore, and Pray Always. Elder Ulysses Suarez, Seek Christ in Every Thought. Elder Neil L. Anderson, We Talk of Christ. Elder Gary E. Stevenson, Highly Favored of the Lord. Elder Dale G. Renland, Do Justly, Love Mercy, and Walk Humbly with God. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, Waiting on the Lord. Messages from organization leaders, Sister Sharon Eubank, Christina B. Franco, and Lisa L. Harkness. And poster. End of contents, read by Wes Nelson. Welcome to Conference, Moving Forward, by President Russell M. Nelson. My dear brothers and sisters, what a joy it is to be with you as we begin the 190th Semi-Annual General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. During the past few months, a global pandemic, raging wildfires, and other natural disasters have turned our world upside down. I grieve with each of you who has lost a loved one during this time. Meanwhile, the work of the Lord is steadily moving forward. Amid social distancing, face masks, and Zoom meetings, we have learned to do some things differently, and some even more effectively. Unusual times can bring unusual rewards. I pray that we as a people are using this unique time to grow spiritually. We are here on earth to be tested, to see if we will choose to follow Jesus Christ, to repent regularly, to learn, and to progress. Our spirits long to progress, and we do that best by staying firmly on the covenant path. I invite you to ponder a promise the Lord made. He declared that whosoever will may lay hold upon the Word of God. I pray that you will choose to lay hold upon the Word of God as it is declared during this General Conference, and I pray that you may feel the Lord's perfect love for you. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Wes Nelson.
President Russell M. Nelson, President of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Sunday morning session. Let God prevail. One of the Hebraic meanings of the word Israel is let God prevail. Thus, the very name of Israel refers to a person who is willing to let God prevail in his or her life. The Lord is gathering those who are willing to let God prevail in their lives. The Lord is gathering those who will choose to let God be the most important influence in their lives. For centuries, prophets have foretold this gathering, and it is happening right now. As an essential prelude to the second coming of the Lord, it is the most important work in the world. Are you willing to let God prevail in your life? Are you willing to let God be the most important influence in your life? Will you allow His words, His commandments, and His covenants to influence what you do each day? Will you allow His voice to take priority over any other? Are you willing to let whatever He needs you to do take precedence over every other ambition? Are you willing to have your will swallowed up in His? When your greatest desire is to let God prevail, to be part of Israel, so many decisions become easier. So many issues become non-issues. You know how best to groom yourself. You know what to watch and read, where to spend your time, and with whom to associate. You know what you want to accomplish. You know the kind of person you really want to become. The only way to survive spiritually is to be determined to let God prevail in our lives, to learn to hear His voice, and to use our energy to help gather Israel. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of the article, President Russell M. Nelson, President of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Sunday morning session, Let God Prevail. Read by Casey Wayman.
Women's Session, Embrace the Future with Faith, by President Russell M. Nelson. How are we to deal with both the somber prophecies and the glorious pronouncements about our day? The Lord told us how, with simple but stunning reassurance. If ye are prepared, ye shall not fear. Doctrine and Covenants, section 38, verse 30. Captain Moroni prepared his people in three essential ways. Principle number one, create places of security. When your home becomes a personal sanctuary of faith, where the Spirit resides, your home becomes the first line of defense. Likewise, the stakes of Zion are a refuge from the storm. Doctrine and Covenants, section 115, verse 6. The temple, the house of the Lord, is a place of security unlike any other. Simply said, a place of security is anywhere you can feel the presence of the Holy Ghost and be guided by Him. Principle number two, prepare your mind to be faithful to God. We strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ as we strive to keep His commandments and always remember Him. Moroni, chapter 4, verse 3. Further, our faith increases every time we exercise our faith in Him. Few things build faith more than does regular immersion in the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is our latter-day survival guide. Of course, our ultimate security comes as we yoke ourselves to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Principle number three, never stop preparing. The adversary never stops attacking, so we can never stop preparing. Let us not just endure this current season. Let us embrace the future with faith. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of Embrace the Future with Faith by President Russell M. Nelson. Read by David Shaw.
Sunday Afternoon Session, A New Normal, by President Russell M. Nelson. We live in a glorious age, foreseen by prophets for centuries. This is the dispensation when no spiritual blessing will be withheld from the righteous. Despite the world's commotion, the Lord would have us look forward to the future with joyful anticipation. Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Joseph Smith, page 513. Let us not spin our wheels in the memories of yesterday. The gathering of Israel moves forward. The Lord Jesus Christ directs the affairs of His church, and it will achieve its divine objectives. The challenge for you and me is to make certain that each of us will achieve his or her divine potential. Today we often hear about a new normal. If you really want to embrace a new normal, I invite you to turn your heart, mind, and soul increasingly to our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ. Let that be your new normal. Embrace your new normal by repenting daily. Seek to be increasingly pure in thought, word, and deed. Minister to others. Keep an eternal perspective. Magnify your callings. And whatever your challenges, my dear brothers and sisters, live each day so that you are more prepared to meet your Maker. See Alma chapter 12, verse 24, Alma chapter 34, verse 32. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of the article, A New Normal by President Russell M. Nelson. Read by Dwayne Case.
President Dallin H. Oaks, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Saturday morning session. Love your enemies. We live in a time of anger and hatred in political relationships and policies. We will always have differences over proposed candidates and policies. However, as followers of Christ, we must forego the anger and hatred with which political choices are debated or denounced in many settings. Loving our enemies and our adversaries is not easy. The devil is the father of contention, and it is he who tempts men to contend with anger. He promotes enmity and hateful relationships among individuals and within groups. President Thomas S. Monson taught, "No one can make us angry. It is our choice." An essential part of loving our enemies is keeping the laws of our various countries. Though Jesus' teachings were revolutionary, he did not teach revolution or lawbreaking. This does not mean that we agree with all that is done with the force of law. It means that we obey the current law and use peaceful means to change it. It also means that we peacefully accept the results of elections. We will not participate in the violence threatened by those disappointed with the outcome. Knowing that we are all children of God gives us a divine vision of the worth of all others and the will and ability to rise above prejudice and racism. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of the article, President Dallin H. Oaks, First Counselor in the First Presidency, Saturday Morning Session, Love Your Enemies. Read by Casey Wayman.
Women's Session, Be of Good Cheer, by President Dallin H. Oaks. In the final days of his mortal life, Jesus Christ told his apostles of the persecutions and hardships they would suffer. He concluded with this great assurance, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That is the Savior's message to all of our Heavenly Father's children. That is the ultimate good news for each of us in our mortal lives. 2,000 years later, we also need that same message, not to despair, but to be of good cheer. Tribulations and challenges are the common experiences of mortality. Opposition is an essential part of the divine plan for helping us grow. And in the midst of that process, we have God's assurance that in the long view of eternity, opposition will not be allowed to overcome us. With His help and our faithfulness and endurance, we will prevail. Like the mortal life of which they are a part, all tribulations are temporary. There is boundless power in the doctrine of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Our unshakable faith in that doctrine guides our steps and gives us joy. By understanding and conforming our lives to that doctrine, including the divine gift of repentance, we can be of good cheer as we keep ourselves on the path toward our eternal destiny, reunion, and exaltation with our loving heavenly parents. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Wes Nelson. President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Women's Session, Sisters in Zion. Every day we are approaching closer to the glorious moment when the Savior Jesus Christ will come to earth again. As the beloved daughters of Heavenly Father, and as the daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ in His kingdom, you will play a crucial part in the grand times ahead. Your sisters, your daughters, your granddaughters, and the women you have nurtured will be at the heart of creating that society of people who will join in glorious association with the Savior. Sisters, you were given the blessing of being daughters of God with special gifts. You brought with you into mortal life a spiritual capacity to nurture others and to lift them higher toward the love and purity that will qualify them to live together in a Zion society. It is not by accident that the Relief Society, the first church organization specifically for Heavenly Father's daughters, has as its motto, "Charity never faileth." Charity is the pure love of Christ, and it is faith in Him and the full effects of His infinite atonement that will qualify you, and those you love and serve, for the supernal gift to live in that sociality of a long-looked-for and promised Zion. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Wes Nelson.
Sunday Afternoon Session. Tested, Proved, and Polished by President Henry B. Eyring. My hope is to give encouragement when life seems especially difficult and uncertain. Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ know and love you. They want you to return to them and become like them. Your success is their success. You might reasonably wonder why a loving and all-powerful God allows our mortal test to be so hard. It is because He knows that we must grow in spiritual cleanliness and stature to be able to live in His presence in families forever. The Father's plan of happiness has at its center our becoming even more like His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. In all things, the Savior's example is our best guide. The greatest blessing that will come when we prove ourselves faithful to our covenants during our trials will be a change in our natures. By our choosing to keep our covenants, the power of Jesus Christ and the blessings of His atonement can work in us. Our hearts can be softened to love, to forgive, and to invite others to come unto the Savior. Our confidence in the Lord increases, our fears decrease. I express my gratitude for the many faithful members of the Church of Jesus Christ who bear burdens with steady faith and who help others to bear theirs as the Lord seeks to polish them a little more. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Rick Gines.
Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Saturday Morning Session. We will prove them herewith. The year 2020 has been marked by a global pandemic that has proved, examined, and tried us in many ways. I pray that we as individuals and families are learning the valuable lessons that only challenging experiences can teach us. I also hope that all of us will more fully acknowledge the greatness of God and the truth that He shall consecrate our afflictions for our gain. Two basic principles can guide and strengthen us as we face proving and trying circumstances in our lives, whatever they may be. One, the principle of preparation, and two, the principle of pressing forward with a steadfastness in Christ. Our efforts to prepare for the proving experiences of mortality should follow the example of the Savior, who incrementally increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. A blended balance of intellectual, physical, spiritual, and social readiness. What have we learned during these recent months of lifestyle adjustments and restrictions? What do we need to improve in our lives spiritually, physically, socially, emotionally, and intellectually? Now is the time to prepare and prove ourselves willing and able to do all things whatsoever the Lord our God shall command us. As we press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men, we are blessed with an eternal perspective and vision that stretches far beyond our limited mortal capacity. The promise of proving ourselves is a fundamental part of Heavenly Father's great plan of happiness. I promise that as we both prepare and press forward with faith in the Savior, we all can receive the same grade on the ultimate examination of mortality. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of the article, Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Saturday Morning Session. We will prove them herewith. Read by Casey Wayman.
Sister Michelle D. Craig, First Counselor in the Young Women General Presidency. Saturday Morning Session. Eyes, to see. My dear sisters and brothers, you can pray for the Lord to open your eyes to see things you would not normally see. Perhaps the most important things for us to see clearly are who God is and who we really are, sons and daughters of heavenly parents with a divine nature and eternal destiny. Young Women Theme, churchofjesuschrist.org. As with all gifts the Father so willingly offers, seeing deeply requires us to ask Him and then act. Ask to see others as He does, as His true sons and daughters with infinite and divine potential, then act by loving, serving, and affirming their worth and potential as prompted. Eyewitness that Jesus Christ loves us and can give us eyes to see, even when it's hard, even when we're tired, even when we're lonely, and even when the outcomes are not as we hoped. Through His grace, He will bless us and increase our capacity. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, Christ will enable us to see ourselves and see others as He does. With His help, we can discern what is most needful. We can begin to see the hand of the Lord working in and through the ordinary details of our lives. We will see deeply. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Jane Wise.
Elder Quentin L. Cook of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, Saturday Morning Session. Hearts Knit in Righteousness and Unity. We are all children of our Father in heaven, and we worship Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. Our desire is that our hearts and minds will be knit in righteousness and unity, and we will be one with them. Righteousness is a broad, comprehensive term, but most certainly includes living God's commandments. Unity is also a broad, comprehensive term, but most certainly exemplifies the first and second great commandments to love God and love our fellow men. We live in a moment of particularly strong divisions. However, the millions who have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ have committed themselves to achieving both righteousness and unity. We are all aware that we can do better, and that is our challenge in this day. With our all-inclusive doctrine, we can be an oasis of unity and celebrate diversity. Unity and diversity are not opposites. We can achieve greater unity as we foster an atmosphere of inclusion and respect for diversity. The Savior's ministry and message have consistently declared all races and colors are children of God. We are all brothers and sisters. Our church culture comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The clarion call to members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is to strive to be a Zion people who are of one heart and one mind and dwell in righteousness. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Austin Peterson.
Saturday Morning Session. Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Recommended to the Lord. The temple is the Lord's house and a sanctuary from the world. His Spirit envelops those who worship within those sacred walls. He sets the standards by which we enter as His guests. Whether for youth or adults, your Temple Recommend interview is not about do's and don'ts. A recommend is not a checklist, a hall pass, or a ticket for special seating. It has a much higher and holier purpose. To qualify for the honor of a temple recommend, you must live in harmony with the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In your interview, you have the opportunity to search your soul about your personal faith in Jesus Christ and His atonement. You have the blessing to express your testimony of the restored gospel your willingness to sustain those whom the Lord has called to lead His church, your faith in the doctrine of the gospel, your fulfillment of family responsibilities, and your qualities of honesty, chastity, fidelity, obedience, and observance of the word of wisdom, the law of tithing, and the sanctity of the Sabbath day. These are bedrock principles of a life devoted to Jesus Christ and His work. Your temple recommend reflects a deep spiritual intent that you are striving to live the laws of the Lord and love what He loves: humility, meekness, steadfastness, charity, courage, compassion, forgiveness, and obedience. And you commit yourself to those standards when you sign your name to that sacred document. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of Recommended to the Lord by Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Read by David Shaw.
Saturday afternoon session, Sustainable Societies, Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. What are the fundamentals that sustain a flourishing society, one that promotes happiness, progress, peace, and well-being among its members? The truth of God points a better way, or as Paul said, a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. A way to personal happiness and community well-being now and to everlasting peace and joy hereafter. The truth of God refers to the core truths that underlie His plan of happiness for His children. These truths are that God lives, that He is the Heavenly Father of our spirits, that as a manifestation of His love, He has given us commandments that lead to a fullness of joy with Him, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and our Redeemer, that He suffered and died to atone for sins on condition of our repentance, that He rose from the dead, bringing to pass the resurrection of all humankind, and that we will all stand before Him to be judged, that is, to account for our lives. If enough of us and enough of our neighbors strive to make our decisions and guide our lives by the truth of God, the moral virtues needed in every society will abound. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of Sustainable Societies. Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Read by Dwayne Case.
Finding Joy in Christ by Brother Stephen J. Lund, Young Men General President, from the Saturday afternoon session of General Conference. The Savior's mission has always and forever been to serve His Father by saving His children. And the surest way to find joy in this life is to join Christ in helping others. This is the simple truth that inspired the Children and Youth Program. All children and youth activities and all children and youth teachings are about helping young people become more like Jesus by joining with Him in His work of salvation and exaltation. Quorum and class presidencies, step up and take your rightful place in the Lord's work. And to you of the rising generation, I testify as one who knows that you are beloved sons and daughters of God, and He has a work for you to do. As you rise to the majesty of your stations, with all of your hearts, might, mind, and strength, you will come to love God and keep your covenants and trust in His priesthood as you work to bless others, beginning in your own homes. I pray that you will strive with redoubled energy worthy of this time to serve, exercise faith, repent, and improve each day to qualify to receive temple blessings and the enduring joy that comes only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of the article, Finding Joy in Christ, by Brother Stephen J. Lund, Young Men General President, from the Saturday afternoon session of General Conference. Read by Van Farnworth.
Elder Garrett W. Gong, of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Saturday afternoon session, All Nations, Kindreds, and Tongues. Our 2020 Bicentennial Proclamation begins with the profoundly inclusive promise that God loves His children in every nation of the world. To each of us in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, God promises, covenants, and invites us to come partake of His abundant joy and goodness. Brothers and sisters across the world, each of us participating in this October 2020 General Conference is among the nations, kindreds, and tongues spoken of. Heavenly Father invites us everywhere to feel His love, to learn and grow through education, honorable work, self-reliant service, and patterns of goodness and happiness we find in His restored church. We need God's help to create lasting justice, equality, fairness, and peace in our homes and communities. Our truest, deepest, most authentic narrative, place, and belonging come when we feel God's redeeming love, seek grace and miracles through His Son's atonement, and establish lasting relationships by sacred covenants. Great things often being small, but God's miracles are manifest daily. How grateful we are for the supernal gift of the Holy Ghost, the atonement of Jesus Christ, and His revealed doctrine, ordinances, and covenants found in His restored church, called in His name. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of the article. Elder Garrett W. Gong, of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Saturday afternoon session, All Nations, Kindreds, and Tongues. Read by Casey Wayman.
Saturday afternoon session, Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf, of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. God will do something unimaginable. My dear friends, my beloved brothers and sisters, God will watch over and shepherd you during these times of uncertainty and fear. He knows you. He hears your pleas. He is faithful and dependable. He will fulfill His promises. What is needed during times of crisis is calm and clear-headed trust. How do we do this? We face the facts and return to the fundamentals, to the basic gospel principles, to what matters most. You strengthen your private religious behavior, like prayer and scripture study, and keeping God's commandments. You make the decisions based on best proven practices. Focus on the things you can do and not on the things you cannot do. You muster your faith, and you listen for the guiding word of the Lord and His prophet to lead you to safety. Remember, this is the Church of Jesus Christ. He is at the helm. God has revealed and will continue to reveal His almighty hand. The day will come when we will look back and know that during this time of adversity, God was helping us to find better ways, His ways, to build His kingdom on a firm foundation. I bear my witness that this is God's work, and He will continue to do many unimaginable things among His children, His people. God holds us in the palm of His caring and compassionate hands. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of God Will Do Something Unimaginable by Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf, of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Read by Dwayne Case.
Sister Becky Craven, Second Counselor in the Young Women General Presidency, Women's Session, keep the change. Jesus Christ gives us much, much more than the value of what we can ever return to Him. So what can we give to Him who paid the incalculable price for our sins? We can give Him change. We can give Him our change. So unlike the purchaser at the market who would take back the change we offer, our gracious Savior beckons us to keep the change. Jesus Christ has given us a continuous pattern for change. He invites us to exercise faith in Him, which inspires us to repent. Enduring to the end means changing to the end. I now understand that I am not starting over with each failed attempt, but that with each try, I am continuing my process of change. There is an inspired phrase in the Young Women theme that states, "I cherish the gift of repentance and seek to improve each day." Young Women Theme, churchofjesuschrist.org. I pray that we do cherish this beautiful gift and that we are intentional in seeking change. Maintaining change takes effort. I cannot imagine stopping along the trail only to put back in my shoe the annoying and painful pebble I just removed. I would not want to do that any more than a beautiful butterfly would choose to return to her cocoon. I testify that because of Jesus Christ, we can change. We can adjust our habits, alter our thoughts, and refine our character to become more like Him. And with His help, we can keep the change. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Rena Nelson.
President M. Russell Ballard, Acting President of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Sunday Morning Session. Watch ye therefore and pray always. During the past few months, I have had the impression come to me that the best way to help the current world situation is for all people to rely more fully upon God and to turn their hearts to Him through sincere prayer. Humbling ourselves and seeking heaven's inspiration to endure or conquer what is before us will be our safest and surest way to move confidently forward through these troubling times. No matter where you live, what language you speak, or the challenges you face, God hears and answers you in His own way and in His own time. Because we are His children, we can approach Him to seek help, solace, and a renewed desire to make a positive difference in the world. Praying for justice, peace, the poor, and the sick is often not enough. After we kneel in prayer, we need to get up from our knees and do what we can to help, to both ourselves and others. It is my fervent testimony that if we will pray and ask Heavenly Father for needed blessings and guidance, we will come to know how we can bless our families, neighbors, communities, and even the countries in which we live. I invite all church members, as well as our neighbors and friends of other faith groups worldwide, to do as the Savior counseled His disciples. Watch ye therefore and pray always, for peace, for comfort, for safety, and for opportunities to serve one another. See Luke 21, verse 36. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Rick Gines.
Seek Christ in Every Thought, by Elder Ulysses Suarez of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, from the Sunday Morning Session of General Conference. Seeking Christ in every thought and following Him with all our heart requires that we align our mind and desires with His. Despite our continuous efforts to seek out the Lord, inappropriate thoughts may penetrate our mind. When such thoughts are permitted and even invited to stay, they can shape the desires of our heart and lead us to what we will become in this life, and eventually to what we will inherit for eternity. Metaphorically speaking, yielding to temptation is like approaching a magnet with a metal object. The magnet's invisible force attracts the metal object and holds it tightly. The magnet loses its power over it only when the metal object is placed far from it. Therefore, just as the magnet is unable to exercise power over a faraway metal object, As we resist temptation, it fades away and loses its power over our mind and heart, and consequently, over our actions. Can you imagine what would happen if we were to derive strength and courage from the Savior and say, "No," and "Get thee hence," to unvirtuous thoughts that very first moment they come into our minds? I know that by following Jesus' example, we will avoid many tragedies and undesirable behaviors that might cause family problems and disagreements, negative emotions and inclinations, perpetrating injustices and abuses, enslavement by evil addictions, and anything else that would be against the Lord's commandments. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of the article, "Seek Christ in Every Thought," by Elder Ulysses Suarez of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, from the Sunday morning session of General Conference, read by Van Farnworth.
Sunday morning session, "We Talk of Christ," by Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. During this period of uncertainty, I have felt an unusual gratitude for my sure and certain knowledge that Jesus is the Christ. Have you felt that way? There are difficulties that weigh upon each of us, but always before us is He who humbly declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John chapter 14, verse 6. Interestingly, while this spiritual conviction is increasing within us, there are many on the earth who know very little of Jesus Christ, and in some parts of the world, where His name has been proclaimed for centuries, faith in Jesus Christ is diminishing. How are we to respond to our changing world? While some are neglecting their faith, others are searching for the truth. We have taken upon ourselves the name of the Savior. What more are we to do? In a world of work, worries, and worthy endeavors, we keep our heart, our mind, and our thoughts on Him who is our hope and salvation. As the world speaks less of Jesus Christ, let us speak more of Him. As our true colors as His disciples are revealed, many around us will be prepared to listen. As we share the light we have received from Him, His light and His transcendent saving power will shine on those willing to open their hearts. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of the article, "We Talk of Christ," by Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Read by David Shaw.
Sunday afternoon session, "Highly Favored of the Lord," by Elder Gary E. Stevenson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. I have observed others face deep disappointment brought on by the worldwide COVID-19 pandemic. Many of you have dealt with heartbreaking disappointment, sorrow, and discouragement. So how do we heal, endure, and move forward when things seem so broken? Times of affliction and disappointment do not change the watchful eye of the Lord as He favorably looks upon us, blessing us. We can draw parallels as individual members and as a church in the way which we have been highly favored of the Lord during the challenging times we have encountered the past several months. As I cite these examples, let them also strengthen your testimony of the seership of our living prophet, who prepared us with adjustments before any hint of a pandemic, enabling us to endure the challenges that have come. First, becoming more home-centered and church-supported. The second example is ministering in a higher and holier way. A final example is finding heightened joy in the return of temple ordinances. Brothers and sisters, I believe that one day each of you will look back at the canceled events, the sadness, the disappointments, and the loneliness attendant to the challenging times we are passing through to see them overshadowed by choice blessings and increased faith and testimonies. I believe that in this life and in the life to come, your afflictions will be consecrated for your gain. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of Highly Favored of the Lord by Elder Gary E. Stevenson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Read by Dwayne Case.
Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. By Elder Dale G. Renland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, from the Sunday afternoon session of General Conference. Without the blessings that come from Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, we can never do enough or be enough by ourselves. The good news, though, is that because of and through Jesus Christ, we can become enough. As Micah explained, God hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. To do justly means acting honorably with God and with other people. To do justly and walk humbly with God is to intentionally withdraw our hand from iniquity, walk in His statutes, and remain authentically faithful. God delights in mercy. To love mercy as God does is inseparably connected to dealing justly with others and not mistreating them. Loving mercy means that we do not just love the mercy God extends to us, we delight that God extends the same mercy to others, and we follow His example. We can know that the course of life that we are pursuing is according to God's will, when we do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. We assimilate the attributes of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ into our character, and we love one another. When you do these things, you will follow the covenant path. Your souls will be infused with the glory of God and with the light of everlasting life. You will be filled with incomprehensible joy. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. End of the article. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. By Elder Dale G. Renland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. From the Sunday afternoon session of General Conference. Read by Van Farnworth.
Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Sunday afternoon session. Waiting on the Lord. There will be times in our lives when even our best spiritual effort and earnest pleading prayers do not yield the victories for which we have yearned, whether that be regarding the large global matters or the small personal ones. So while we work and wait together for the answers to some of our prayers, I offer you my apostolic promise that they are heard and they are answered, though perhaps not at the time or in the way we wanted. But they are always answered at the time and in the way an omniscient and eternally compassionate parent should answer them. Faith means trusting God in good times and bad, even if that includes some suffering until we see His arm revealed in our behalf. That can be difficult in our modern world when many have come to believe that the highest good in life is to avoid all suffering, that no one should ever anguish over anything. But that belief will never lead us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. COVID and cancer, doubt and dismay, financial trouble and family trials, when will these burdens be lifted? The answer is by and by, Alma 32:42. And whether that be a short period or a long one is not always ours to say, but by the grace of God, the blessings will come to those who hold fast to the gospel of Jesus Christ. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Austin Peterson.
Sister Sharon Eubank, First Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. Women's Session. By union of feeling, we obtain power with God. Unity doesn't magically happen. It takes work. It's messy, sometimes uncomfortable, and happens gradually. We may not yet be where we want to be, and we are not now where we will be. I believe the change we seek in ourselves and in the groups we belong to will come less by activism and more by actively trying every day to understand one another. Why? Because we are building Zion, a people of one heart and one mind. Moses 7:18. It isn't complicated to know what to do, but it often goes against our selfish interests, and we have to try. The women of this church have unlimited potential to change society. I have full spiritual confidence that, as we seek union of feeling, we will call down the power of God to make our efforts whole. See full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by April Johnson.
Sister Christina B. Franco, Second Counselor in the Primary General Presidency. Women's Session. The Healing Power of Jesus Christ. Sisters and brothers, aren't we all like this piano, a little broken, cracked, and damaged, feeling like we will never be the same again? However, as we come unto Jesus Christ by exercising faith in Him, repenting, and making and keeping covenants, our brokenness, whatever its cause, can be healed. This process, which invites the Savior's healing power into our lives, does not just restore us to what we were before, but makes us better than we ever were. I know that through our Savior, Jesus Christ, we can all be mended, made whole, and fulfill our purpose, just like a beautiful sounding, brand new piano. To heal brokenness by coming unto Him, we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. I testify that Jesus Christ is our loving Savior, our Redeemer, the Master Healer, and our faithful friend. If we turn to Him, He will heal us and make us whole again. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by Amanda Saria.
Sister Lisa L. Harkness, First Counselor in the Primary General Presidency. Sunday Morning Session. Peace, be still. Recent events around the globe and in our nation's communities and families have buffeted us with unforeseen trials. In times of turmoil, our faith can feel stretched to the limits of our endurance and understanding. Waves of fear can distract us, causing us to forget God's goodness, thus leaving our perspective short-sighted and out of focus. Regardless of our circumstances, we can intentionally make efforts to build and increase our faith in Jesus Christ. It is strengthened when we remember that we are children of God and that He loves us. Our faith grows as we experiment on the Word of God with hope and diligence, trying our very best to follow Christ's teachings. Our faith increases as we choose to believe rather than doubt, forgive rather than judge, repent rather than rebel. Our faith is refined as we patiently rely on the merits and mercy and grace of the Holy Messiah. See 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 8. See the full address at conference.churchofjesuschrist.org. Read by April Johnson.